Hello there! Welcome to this episode of Force Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week, I'm going to talk all about the rides at Galaxy's Edge. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter and Hive at Force Ghost Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, just by searching Force Ghost Conversations. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening site of choice. Plus, Force Ghost Conversations is live on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there will be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Finally, please be sure to check out our TeePublic store to buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to another installment of Force Ghost Conversations. As always, this is Anthony King, and I'm thrilled to have you on this journey. And I hope that we've gotten some new listeners over the last couple of weeks as we've been running some giveaway promotions, if you will, on especially Twitter. And through that, if you have been following the show, and if hopefully at the time of this, we've reached our new follower count, our goal, I should say, of 250 Twitter followers, perhaps there is a Force Ghost Conversations t-shirt coming your way if we reach that goal. So again, at the time of the release of this episode, you can still follow us on Twitter, at Force Ghost Pod, and you can be entered into the giveaway if we hit 250 followers by the end of the day of release of this episode. And that will get you in the running to potentially win a Force Ghost Conversations t-shirt. Of course, we have our Star Wars-inspired logo, our Indiana Jones-inspired logo, and our Willow-inspired logo, all on our TeePublic site. But I will be selecting one person if we are to hit that goal, of course. So be sure to follow us, tell your friends about us, share us through your networks and all that stuff. And hopefully we do hit that milestone. But because of that, we have some new influx of followers, and I hope that some of them have matriculated down into the world of actually listening to a podcast, as well as through engaging us on the various social media platforms. But I think we run a very cool and fun podcast here. Of course, this is Force Ghost Conversations, your cozy site for deep dive discussions into all things Star Wars. And of course, Lucasfilm too. We will branch out into the other aspects of the Lucasfilm family once we are able to again, of course. Now we are in the strike time. Yes, the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strikes are taking place all throughout Hollywood. And of course, we stand in solidarity with the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strike movement. So because of that, we are abiding strictly to the guidelines as proposed for podcasters. And as a result, we are not talking about struck work, but that does allow us to take a step into other aspects of the Lucasfilm family, which we've done so to this point, which include books, comics, video games, and what also is available, I believe, to talk about. Now, of course, I could be wrong here, and if that is so, then my apologies, but I believe that parks are able to be discussed. And this is an episode I've wanted to do for quite some time. And frankly, we're going to break it up into three parts. So this is part one. It's going to be about the rides of Galaxy's Edge. We're going to do a part two, which is going to talk about food and beverage at Galaxy's Edge. And a part three, which would be about the experiences at Galaxy's Edge, right? So we're talking interacting with characters, meet and greets, walking through Galaxy's Edge in general, the sights, the sounds, the visuals, Savi's workshop, droid building, and anything else that could potentially fall into place, right? Doc Ondar's Den of Antiquities, any of that great stuff falls under that last category there, the experiences of Galaxy's Edge. But in this first one, we're just going to kind of take a little run through of my experiences at Galaxy's Edge and talk through the rides of it all. So, of course, this is a spoiler discussion of Galaxy's Edge. So if you've not been to Galaxy's Edge and you don't want spoiled to whatever takes place there, don't listen to this part of the episode or this episode. You've gotten to this point, just pause it, go to Disneyland or Walt Disney World and experience it for yourself and then come right back. Or you can use this as a gauge for, we need to do this as soon as possible. This is exciting. Thank you, Anthony, for sharing your viewpoints and opinions on the matter. And I take that into great consideration, and we'll be going right now, or I'll be taking a few weeks to go to, or months, years, if you will, to go to one of these parks for myself and experience it. Or you can go on YouTube and watch it for yourself, because there are certainly lots of videos of people doing point of view demonstrations of rides and experiences and all that stuff. Certainly, we're not the only person in the game talking about this at this point. Galaxy's Edge, of course, opened up in 2019, usually, or I would say around the real hype of the Rise of Skywalker and all that at the same time was coming out. And for my personal story, and of course, spoilers after all this point, we, Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations and I, were able to go to Disneyland for the first time for both of us. Alongside Star Wars Celebration, we went on May 25th, so the 45th anniversary of the release of A New Hope last year. So we're a little over a year and a couple of months and change from when we were there last. And we were able to experience Galaxy's Edge for the first time. We've been both very excited about doing that. It's been something that we wanted to do for quite some time. We didn't know when we'd be able to actually get to one of these parks very soon, but because we went to Star Wars Celebration and were a part of all those festivities, we tacked on a few extra days to go to both Disneyland Resort and California Adventure to see both Galaxy's Edge and Avengers Campus on the other side of California Adventure. And we wanted to experience all of it, and we had a great, grand, wonderful time doing it. And now this is officially the episode where I get to talk about some of those experiences, right? Almost a year plus later, but we've been blessed with so much great content over the last couple of months and even a year plus since we had that wonderful experience with Celebration, all the wonderful TV shows that have come out since then. I mean, we've been spoiled for content, that's for sure. And once the strike comes back or strikes conclude and we're able to talk full about stuff that is coming out, right? I know there's something around the corner. There's a lot on the docket, so it's actually quite beneficial that we're able to just carve out a little bit of time here to talk Galaxy's Edge. And like I said, it was our first time going to Galaxy's Edge. It was definitely the first thing on our to-do list that we wanted to do when we got to Disneyland. And what that means is we basically made it our top priority. So we rope-dropped Galaxy's Edge, which is, I think, a very smart strategy to do at Disneyland. It was both of our first time there. We had done a lot of extensive research on strategies for Genie Plus, which is a whole other story topic in itself. Genie Plus actually works very well at Disneyland. I know there's it's not the same as at Disney World, so you know this isn't a apples to apples comparison here, but for Disneyland at least, it's a really great tool. Now, of course, for the Rise of the Resistance, you do have to pay if you want a lightning lane. So that's why we rope dropped that ride immediately. We were literally one of the first people in line to even get into line for Disneyland to get through the security gate. We rope dropped that even. And we got there, I think, around 6 o'clock that morning. Disneyland officially opened, I want to say, 8 o'clock or something like that. Definitely 8 o'clock. Now, memory's all flooding back to me here. So we, fortunately, since we were still on an East Coast time frame, the jet lag worked in our favor. We were able to get up super early, really easily, strolled our way over to the park. We were about a hotel, about maybe 10 to 15 minutes walk away from Disneyland, the main gates. And we got in line, made some friends with some folks around us there, told them about our experiences and why we were there. And they were some locals actually there rope dropping there pretty early in the morning. So that's an interesting side of their living experience for sure. Got through there, got eventually to the area where you line up to scan your ticket to get into the park and all that. And officially, we got to the main like loading area where they set you up for where you want to head off into the various different lands, right? Fantasyland, Frontierland, Tomorrowland, all those famous places within the Disneyland Resort. And I think we mapped it out pretty well that if you go to this far left way around Pirates, around the treehouse that was there, around the French Quarter, I think, you will make your way on a beeline path right for Rise of the Resistance, which was the first ride we wanted to do because that ride shuts down so frequently. I keep an eye out on Disney Twitter, of course. I keep an eye out on just the parks apps themselves, right? I am guilty of being one of those people that will be thousands of miles away and look at wait times for rides and be like, oh, look, it's a 5-minute wait ride. And then gloat to Mrs. Forest Coast Conversations that we need to be there because it's a short ride. And, you know, that never works out too well because we never just like hop on a plane and go and all that stuff. That's not really feasible whatsoever. But I am guilty of being that person in general. So we made a beeline for Rise of the Resistance. And my golly, did we get in line and we literally walked right onto the ride. Yeah, it's one of those rides that literally, because of every moving aspect part of that ride, if something breaks down often, that's how it's, you know, it ruins the experience. Trust me, if you ride it, you know, or if you watch a video of it, you will fully understand that there are a lot of moving aspects and parts to that ride that just need to be working at full capacity. It's hard to explain. So we're literally rushing through. And the big part that I want to say about like Galaxy's Edge in general is my first impression of everything is a part of the story. Even the queue lines are, you feel like you're part of Star Wars, right? That's the whole point of Galaxy's Edge, is that you are immersed into creating, you are in the galaxy far, far away, and you are a part of this grand adventure, and you get to have your story play out, and they've done cross-canon material via comics, books. I know the one TV series has ventured into that realm. So they've really done a great job with canon of making this Batuu, the planet of Galaxy's Edge, and Black Spire Outpost, the town that you are at in the ride, and when you walk through the area, to be this place of importance that you are in the center of this story. So you will see very familiar Star Wars things throughout the queue. Just, and then even mundane things of our real world are even translated into being aspects of the galaxy far, far away, this wonderful space fantasy franchise that we all know and love. So like trash cans, Arbesh is everywhere. It's really cool. You feel immersed immediately, and it's just one of those great aspects of the immersion that they're able to do at this resort that makes it special. And I'm sure it's the same at World. I'll be sure to get there very soon here and to experience it over and on that side. But this is purely an experience over at Disneyland. So we rope dropped. We hustled our butts off to get there. We almost got trampled over by three. What do you call those? Strollers with like where you can fit three kids on them. I mean, golly gee, these parents were gunning it to get to these rope drop spots. So we wanted to make sure we got on this ride. If we didn't do anything else at Disneyland the rest of the day other than just doing this ride, I think we'd have both been very happy about it regardless, because this is the big ticket thing that we wanted to get done. And boy, did this ride not disappoint whatsoever. It's a long ride, it's very fun. You're a part of this grand adventure. And I got to tell you, for the immersive experience of it all, this is a top tier attraction. This is what you get up at 5 a.m. to do, to make sure that you get it to be done. I know there are a lot of strategies over. I'm just paying the $14-$20 or whatever it is for a Lightning Lane Pass. And that's totally fine. Make sure you get on this ride one way or the other. It is set in between episodes 8 and 9. So that's where all of Galaxy's Edge takes place canon-wise. In between those movies, so it gives you a sense of where you're at in the timeline. But the importance of Galaxy's Edge, Black Spire Outpost, is that it's a contented area between both the First Order and the new, not the New Republic, but the Resistance. So they both have bases here, and you're trying to be a part of this this mission that you're sent on. You're sent on a mission by Rey, who you get to see, of course. Daisy Ridley reprise her role. You get to see a little bit of Finn on this ride. Poe Dameron, of course, too, right? You're in the middle of this. And of course you get, you're trying to spy on these, on this, you get basically caught aboard a Star Destroyer, a First Order Star Destroyer. And through the ride, you're on this track where you're literally spun around. You get to see, full on walkers, Imperial walkers, right? First Order walkers, life-size, lifelike. It's so incredible. You get to see armies of stormtroopers in front of you. And frankly, the cast members that are there are fully on board for the experience too, right? I remember being in line with Mrs. Forsco's conversations. And when you're literally queuing up to be onto the ride itself, right? You're not just kind of in a staging area walking from one point to another. There are Imperial officers, First Order officers, I should say, that are basically, you know, telling you where to stand and all that stuff, separating you onto the various rides. And they play the parts very well, right? They are having this dry, not sense of humor, but just dry manner to themselves that is very reminiscent of those who are members of the First Order, right? It's very in line with what you see in the films and in other expanded universe canon. I even felt like, ooh, man, these are some baddies, right? you are a part of it all. And you're a part of this grand space battle. You're tossed around left and right. The action is intense. It's so fun. You get to hear the wonderful music and sound explosions and all that. You get to be saved by the resistance. And then you get launched out of this escape pod bay to go back to Batuu, to go back to the resistance base. And that's a good, you know, 10-foot drop that they drop you on, but you feel so cool, like you're free falling, and then you get this like bolt of you feel the engines turn on and you're zoomed back out into space. And man, it's just a lot of fun. And Mrs. Forsco's conversations and I in our car were with a bunch of I would say about high school age boys, who made it a great experience too. We had a lot of fun to be on the ride together, and they had some other friends in the other car that were there. And you know, you're chased around by Kylo Ren and all that. You get force pulled in, force projected, if you will. Hux is there. It's such a great ride. This is definitely one of the best rides I think I've ever been on. It might be the best ride I've ever been on. So this is one that you certainly can't miss out on if you are ever going to Walt Disney World or Disneyland, or if they open up another Galaxy's Edge somewhere else. Like, this is a top tier attraction that you should literally be running towards as you are making your way through Galaxy's Edge on any Endeavor experience, right? Now, of course, the other ride at Galaxy's Edge is none other than Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, which is located right beside the Millennium Falcon herself, which, how do I explain seeing this wonderful ship in front of me? Life-sized version of the Millennium Falcon, right? That's right beside the entrance to the ride. Of course, we got our Genie Plus Lightning Lane for this attraction. We didn't really need it because it was like a 5 to 10 minute wait via the single rider lane. But, you know, we paid for Genie Plus, so we're going to make a good use out of it. And we certainly did today, and on that day, I should say. And another just really fun ride. I mean, this is literally the ride where you get to be on a mission in the Millennium Falcon. And if you're lucky, if you're one of the two people that get to pilot it, you literally get to be the pilot of the Millennium Falcon, which you can bet your all money. I'll put your all chips down. I'll go all in on knowing that I wanted to be the pilot. And I was going to make it happen one way or another. We were either going to ride the ride again until I got it, or we were going to, you know, talk our way into it. So we got up there to the ride, and the premise of the ride is that Hondo has come into possession of the Millennium Falcon. Hondo Inaka, of course, a great character from the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels. He is in charge of this mission where you're supposed to smuggle coaxium. that he's going to be able to sell then. So that's the kind of purpose of it, is you're supposed to, you know, steal some Quaxium. You get to go to Corellia and all that. It's a really great story overall, if you ask me. And you get to see a lifelike animatronic too of Hondo, which is also voiced by Jim Cummings, of course, of multiple Disney properties, Winnie the Pooh, Princess and the Frog, right? This man is certainly a part of the Disney family. And you literally get to play several roles in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. And when you step in there, I mean, you're in it. This is the cockpit. This is where you've been. You see all these movies and the experiences, and you've dreamt about it your entire life, and you get to finally just sit in that cockpit chair. Oh, so basically, let me just talk through the logistics of the ride as well. So there are six people in every, or should be up to six people in every cockpit, if you will. Two pilots, one person that does up and down, one person that does left and right. Two gunners and two engineers. Now, I can't speak specifically as to what the engineers do, and I think the gunners are pretty self-explanatory. I think the engineers are the ones that actually like grab on to the Quaxium, and the gunners are the ones that keep the first order troopers off you. Fortunately, Miss Force Ghost Conversations and I were at the front of our group, and we were literally able to force our way to being the pilot. So both her and I were the pilot, and I, of course, sat in Han Solo's chair. I was the main pilot, let's be honest here. I was controlling the up and down while Mrs. Forrest's conversations was doing left and right. Which, I gotta tell you, it's a fun ride. Don't get me wrong. This is a great ride, great experience, very immersive. The only problem is it's very touchy. And you also are scored too, right? You have this goal of grabbing so much Quaxium that you are only as good as the people behind you, right? So you have to work in a tandem as a team. And when I was sitting in that cockpit chair, I literally became Han Solo. I became a different person. I was leading the way. I was making, you know, shouting orders to the crew members aboard the ship. I was doing my best to be a great leader, but of course we did not end up so well. It was hard enough flying the thing. I'll be honest, the controls were a little touchy. So definitely some more practice on that front will be more warranted. And I can imagine if you are on a plane or on a ship, I should say, with younger Padawans, let's just say, and they're piloting, you may also have run into some struggles with actually getting to your correct destination in one piece. So it definitely, it's a hard bird to fly, that's for sure, but definitely a lot of fun and fulfills a lot of nostalgic experiences for me, for sure. And I know for Mrs. Forrester's conversations as well as the other members of our crew. A lot of fun to just see the whole thing work itself out and to be a part of this mission for Hondo. I will say, I don't know if it was just our engineers or if it's so hard to be an engineer, but I felt like they could have done a better job at gathering Quaxium, right? I feel like we as the pilots set them up for great success. I need to actually play the role of the engineer to firmly say if they did a good job or not. I don't think they did a good job. So that reduced our score a lot. And then we were taking hits from the First Order TIE fighters and all that stuff that were trying to keep us from stealing the Quaxium. So we took some hits, we took a lot of damage. And of course, when you walk out, when you finally re-land the ship back on Batuu, and when you exit the ride, you see the damage that was accumulated from your experience as you went through there. And boy, did we get a scolding from the person as we got off the ride of saying like, man, you should have done a better job flying this ship here. Like, yeah, we tried. Trust me, we did our best. It was a great ride. A lot of fun. Definitely a nice 1-2 punch after doing Rise of the Resistance. And I like how there's supportive canon as well with a comic book series too that explains how basically how the Millennium Falcon ends up on Batuu. So those are the two rides at this moment that are on Galaxy's Edge. I think they're both really excellent, lots of fun. I had wonderful experiences with them, and I can't wait to do both of them again in the very near future here. So that's very exciting. Certainly worth the trip alone, if you ask me, especially if you're a fan of the Galaxy Far, Far Away, which I know if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously are. And you probably have already been to Galaxy's Edge already at some point in your life. But there are some people, you know, it's not a cheap trip to get down to some of these places, for sure. So I will say, from my honest point of view, it's definitely worth spending the money or saving up the money to get to that point if you want to take a nice... Now, it's not a vacation for sure to like just sit on your butt and relax. You're not going to a beach or a mountain retreat or something like that, or an all-inclusive resort for sure. No, none of that. But if you're looking for an experience that you will certainly remember for the rest of your life, that is something that is out of this world, puts you literally into a universe that you know and love, look no further. Look no further. You hear it from me first here. Go do it. You have my permission. I think you won't regret it. You'll have a lot of fun along the way. So that concludes really part one here, which of course we're going to talk about Galaxy's Edge for the rest of the time here on Forest Coast Conversations, and you'll find out why very soon here, as we are able to ride these off more often. And to just kind of dive into the nitty gritty of these rides a bit more, so we're not literally over a year plus away from riding it for one time and relying on memory experience in order to talk about it in a full manner. So we're definitely going to be having more Galaxy's Edge conversations. But of course, this is just a part one of a 3-part series here where we're going to be talking about, again, food and beverage, as well as the experience overall of Galaxy's Edge, which includes a variety of different things underneath that banner. So be ready for that coming on the horizon here for Forest Coast Conversations as we still wade through the waters of the strike here. So thanks again for everybody for listening to this episode. We'll be back, of course, next week with another episode in this 3-part installment series. So thank you in advance for doing that. Also, again, be sure to hit us up on all the social media channels. Have you been to Galaxy's Edge before? Are you looking to go? What was your experience at these places? I'd love to hear from it. So hit us up, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Hive. Just search Forest Coast Conversations and you'll find us in some way, shape, or form. You can also support the show via other means too. The simplest being just subscribe to the podcast on your favorite listening site. You can also leave a rating or review so that it helps us get to larger audiences on those platforms. Additionally, if you want to support the show even further, we have both a Patreon site where you can get Forest Coast Conversations merchandise. I talked a little bit about that up at the beginning of the episode. And there is also a Tee Public store. Oh, sorry. I think I confused Patreon and Tee Public there for a second. Sorry. It's the end of a long work week here. So basically, Patreon is where you can support the show at the various tiers offered. So for as little as $1 a month, you can get extra Force Ghost Conversations goodies, and you can pay up to $10 a month, which gets you an extra episode a month of the podcast, which, you know, if you're loving the show, you want more of us, then that's the way to do it. But we also have merchandise. And again, I talked about a little about that at the preamble of what we're doing a giveaway right now on our social media. If you follow us on Twitter, if we hit 250 followers by the end of Sunday, August 20th, then we'll be doing a t-shirt giveaway. But of course, if we are unable to hit that number, or if you don't win, then we have a Tee Public store, which runs sales all the time. You can get various t-shirt designs for the podcast, as well as other merchandise, including stickers, hoodies. I've seen pillows before on there, iPhone cases. So much great stuff there with the Forest Coast Conversations branding on it, which you don't want to miss out on if you're a fan of the podcast. And again, like I said, they run sales all the time on there, and a little bit of the proceeds go to supporting the podcast directly. So certainly check that out if you're interested. But with all that, folks, we will be back again next week, next Sunday, with a brand new episode, all talking about food and beverage at Galaxy's Edge. So you certainly don't want to miss out on that. So until then, folks, may the force be with you. Take care.